I'm going to call the Jobs and Economic Development Committee to order.
Not in here.
Representative Eklund, you have, I'm sure, looked at the minutes.
I'll move the minutes, Mr. Chair, and if I could add a comment.
Sure.
I love seeing these big piles of paper in the morning.
I knew you did. Had all the faith in the world. Are there any changes to the minutes? Additions or subtractions? Corrections? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. We have the minutes passed today. Well, today we're going to mark up this 2208. I don't know exactly how many minutes we have. I'm sorry, amendments that we have. But we all have election certificates, get to say what we want. But if you talk too long, we'll be back here tonight after session. So with that, I'm going to hand the gavel over to Representative McNamara and go to the table.
Yeah, I'm digging for that right now. Is there a pole bar?
It should be in there somewhere.
I like the way this morning started. I think I've gotten three so far pulled and probably one more before we get to it. Mr. Chair.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Please state your name and proceed, Chair Mahoney.
I'm Representative Tim Mahoney, and I would like to move House File 2208 to be recommended to pass and sent to the Ways and Means Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We have a motion to refer House File 2208 to the Committee of Ways and Means, and I see you have some amendments, Mr. Chair.
I do have an amendment, and I have an author's amendment that does a number of things. I think that's A26. Yes, that's right. I will move the A26 amendment.
Chair Mahoney moves A26 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The A26 does quite a few different things. The first 10 lines changes some dollar figures to fit what we did at the end of the day. Page 1, line 11, we are moving the $125,000. The $125,000 for that Representative Moran needed for I can't remember what the the Rondo Community Land Trust to one time for, all in the first year. Page 6, line 11. On page 1, line 14, it increases the JCF. 15 and 16 increase the MI, the MIF fund. 17 to 23 adds the Women's Foundation of Minnesota Internship Program for young women of color. Page 2, line 1, we correct the name of one of the organizations. Page 2, line 3 and 4 specifies that the chair and minority leads of the committee with jurisdiction rather than just the legislature. 2.5 to 2.10 replaces an outdated rider so that both the youth prize riders are the same in both of the pools. 2.11 to 2.17 allows the Minneapolis Park Board Earn to Learn and Teamwork to be included in the Opportunity Workforce Development Discretionary Funding Pools. 2.18 lowers the Center for Independent Living set aside for veterans from $1 million to $100,000, which is still a $20,000 increase. Now, that was done so that they would not have to lay off staff and hire different staff. They said they can increase their veterans' work with that amount of money. 2.19 to 2.20 reflects a cut to the tails for deeds paid family leave. I'm cutting the tails because I want to have a clearer idea of what the cost is for that particular program once we start setting up tails so that we can keep track of what we're spending on it. 2.21 renames the dairy assistance program to dairy. 2.22 to 2.30 are corrections to totals to reflect Dolly's existing base funding for wage theft. 3.1 to 3.33 reflects a cut for Dolly's tails for earned sick and safe time for the same reason we did it to the paid family leave. 3.4 to 3.6 deletes the reporting requirement that advocates felt was duplicative of their routine audits and other reports to Dolly. 3.7 to 3.12 corrects an error in the totals for commerce. 3.3 to 3.14 removes a match requirement for the Prepare and Prosper that was only intended, that match was only intended the first year to get it off the ground. 3.15 and 3.16 provides an increase to the telecommunication access fund for the operations of the Commission of the Deaf, Deaf-Blind, and Hard of Hearing. 3.17 removes HHS's paid family leave appropriation because it's being carried in the HHS bill. 3.18 removes the TAILS funding for the Supreme Court for the same reason we did that in with paid family leave and sick and safe time. 3.19 to 4.2, we're adding a one-time exemption to restrictions on the use of MIF funds for local government loan repayment. This generates some extra revenue. It was going to the general fund. We're now taking it back and putting it back in the MIF funds. 4.3 removes the requirement that wage records be submitted in a specific format, which is something that generated a bit of controversy with the wage theft bill. 4.4 to 6.8, that's Article 3 of the original OSHA 2208. OSHA changes into the bill. 6.9 to 8.14, that's Article 14 of the original 2208. Which requires solar installers to be licensed as both electricians and residential contractors so their clients can have access to the residential contractor recovery fund. 815 to 1002 adds Article 5, which makes the licensing changes and lowers the fees for combative sports. 10.3 to 10.4 exempts residents of border-to-border broadband from changes to the ISP regulations. 10.5 deletes 914, which is the financial institutions account. 10.6 to 11.17 makes technical changes to the student loan advocate program. And 11.18 to 11.21 deletes all the data practice language from the unclaimed property provision. which saves this bill a stop in the public safety or judiciary. And they said they didn't really need it. That's what this amendment does. Now, stand for any questions about the amendment.
Thank you, Chair Mahoney. Discussions from members? Any discussions on 826? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, say no.
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 The ayes have it, so the amendment has been adopted.
I think the next amendment is the A-19. I think that's Representative Dabney's.
Yes. Representative Dabney, you have A-19-0360. Will you proceed to offer that amendment?
I would, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, this language, this amendment amends the community prosperity grants language related to opportunity zones. The opportunity zones are federally designated areas of low income and higher unemployment in the state. There's 128 of them around the state, 60% of them in greater Minnesota. A lot I could say, but I think the chair wants me to be brief. This amendment simply asks the Department of Economic Development to prioritize in the distribution of the community prosperity grants those communities, support community groups and neighborhood organizations in those targeted communities so that the community's voice can be involved and engaged in the use of these monies. With that, I ask for member support.
Thank you, Representative Dabney. Any discussions on A-19-0360 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Seeing none, amendment has been adopted.
Thank you.
I think we have the A-19-0411. I think that's Representative Sundin's amendment.
I'll move that amendment.
Representative Sundin moves A-19-0411 amendment. Any explanation on that amendment, Representative Sundin?
It just directs the Department of Labor and Industry to execute consumer awareness regarding licensed contractors and non-licensed contractors, the benefits and some of the pitfalls for using one or the other.
Any discussion on A-19-0411 from members? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed, say no. Amendment has been adopted.
We have the A-1, which is Representative Moran. And I'd like to lay that over till she's here so that you can make the offer to withdraw it.
Mr. Chair, A-1 has been withdrawn.
Oh, it has been withdrawn. Yeah. The A-1 amendment was included in the author's amendment. What that does is for the Rondo community, I don't want to go back and look, moving the split 125 per year into a 250,000 up front the first year so that they can accomplish what they're trying to accomplish over there on Selby. I think the A6 is in the next amendment, and I'm not sure whose that is.
We have, first of all, A5, which I think Representative Susan has.
Mr. Chair, I've withdrawn the A5. It was in the office amendment.
We have A6 amendment. Representative Gunter.
A6 amendment is deals with unclaimed property.
Grab your mic.
A6 amendment deals with unclaimed property, and I believe this is a premature taking of people's property. And I think we should revise that to the way it was before, because I think what we're doing is prematurely taking people's property away from them. And it all isn't money or stocks. A lot of it is real property. And a lot of them are family heirlooms that people don't even know about. So I think we should and always have been doing everything we possibly can to identify those people so they can claim their property. It might take a little while, but it's worked very well. And I used to, back in the olden days, have a lot of fun trying to find those people in my district because it was all listed by zip code. And it was, boy, you should get excited people on the other line. I have something. And if you didn't have their vote before, you'd have it after that, I'll guarantee it.
Mr. Chair.
Chair Mahoney.
As much as I respect Representative Gunther and his knowledge about these particular things, if we delete that, we are also deleting the upgrade of their computer system, which will speed up this process. You might, you know, in the past, it's been difficult once you were identified to actually get that money out. Sometimes it costed, the cost was almost greater than what it was worth by the time you were done. And I have seen their program on trying to find these people with their lost assets. It does take, they do wait 3 years and 5 years, depending on what the particular item is, before they go in and take it. So I would not support this particular amendment.
Thank you, Chair Mahoney. As I recall, their computer systems are almost 20 years old, as the system that they're using. So any discussions from members? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, please say nay.
No.
Amendment has not been adopted. We now move to A7 amendment. Who's offering A7 amendment? Representative Kuznick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. The A7 amendment deals with the paid family medical leave, and as we heard in when the bill was presented, a number of assumptions in the bill that caused concern for the rollout and implementation of this proposal, in addition to just the sheer magnitude of the cost of that, $1.6 billion in new taxes going on our job creators and our employers. This is there's a lot of good things in the overall package, Chair Mahoney, to improve job creations, which is, I believe, the charge of this committee. However, $1.6 billion in taxes on job creators kind of nullifies any of the good in the bill by making this a job-killing bill. And so I think I don't think there's a lot of future in these proposals this year in this legislative session. And so I think we'd get more support for the bill taking out these provisions and having a stronger jobs bill. And so we talked about it at length when we heard the bill. So this is kind of a final opportunity to say this dog doesn't hunt. So that is the amendment, and I encourage member support.
Any discussion on the amendment? Chair Mahoney?
Mr. Chair, I don't I actually don't see it as a job-killing provision. I see it as a provision that will draw all people in our state and will draw more people to our state to take a job in the state of Minnesota. We are having we are facing a significant worker shortage, particularly of the high value jobs, where this is in many cases something that all people are looking for. The idea to take care of a child, take care of a loved one, take care of a parent. So I don't support the A7 amendment.
Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and to the author. Again, I want to support this amendment that Representative Kosnick is bringing forward. Again, as a new member, I did of this committee. I did miss a lot of the committee hearings on this issue, but I was on this committee last year with Representative Mahoney, and we talked a little bit about this. As an employer myself, I will tell you this is a very dangerous slope to go up when we think that building a new system with an IT that we can't do in Minnesota. There's not a shelf project or a program to purchase on this thing. Roughly 400 people to run a program like this really frightens me. And again, I like what we're trying to do here. But I want to try to emphasize to the state of Minnesota, we don't belong in employers' businesses telling them, me, how to run our business. The good employers and the smart employers and the large enough employers are already doing it now to the best that they can. We are all limited by the resources and the money we can charge our customers for services that we provide. We do the best we can do, but when you start talking about this one-size-fits-all thing, this doesn't work anymore. The reason we're seeing a lot of the paid family leave products out there in large companies is because they have the resources and the staff to do it the way they're doing it now. So I really appreciate Representative Kosnick bringing this forward. I apologize for not being part of the earlier conversations this year. This is a huge project that we should not do at this time. But I'll tell you, every time we talk about this, it is making a difference in the employment world. More and more of us employers are listening and doing something about this because, honestly, you're right, Representative Mahoney, there is a real worker shortage out there, and if we aren't smart operators and employers, we're not going to have people. And if we don't have programs either like this, or it might be a program we want to do that's a little different. You know, we were talking about this project. If you're on the Rules Committee, we're talking about what we should do for our staff here with our great staff that works at the House. But our comp time, we should relook at our comp time projects and our policies, because that's a project here at the state that we can maybe manage better and offer some better opportunities for our staff that work 100 hours a week during session, and then it becomes a little slower in the summertime. That's a great benefit for people that work here, and we should relook at that. But to slam this down on employers like me is frightening, and I think it's going to send a bad signal to the folks in Minnesota that that this isn't how we want to do it. I was actually quite moved last night by Governor Walz's speech about how we want to create this magical Minnesota and this one Minnesota, but this is going to make Minnesota stand out in a way that I think is going to be fearful for employers that want to expand and move to Minnesota. So I just, you know, really ask that the author take a look at this. This is not ready, and I appreciate and I will support Representative Kosnick's amendment today.
Representative Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Kosnick, for bringing this amendment forward. I've heard the debate on this provision in a couple committees and have been discouraged by the progress of the evolution of the language as it's gone through the process. Originally, the tax was going to be split. I honestly didn't support it at the beginning either, but originally, at least, the tax was going to be split between employees and employers, and now the tax is 100% on employers. And I, to your point, sir, there are a lot of high-value jobs that are attracted by these benefits, and companies are already providing them. The market works. It may not be exactly where we want it, but employers are providing this because there is a worker shortage. And they'll continue to add it in ways that make sense for their size of a company. This affects employers. There's no small employer exception in this language. It's if you have one employer all the way to the largest company. And I've heard from many employers in my district where they have no idea how they're going to support this. And we already have such a high tax rate on employers. We're fifth highest in the country right now. And this adding this on top of the taxes they already pay, I'm afraid, will drive employers away, even though we already have a worker shortage. Employers are looking for ways to attract workers, and they will meet this demand in ways that make sense for them and their employees. And so I think the market is already working, and we just need to let it continue to work. And if we do consider this in future sessions, there are many other models out there. New Hampshire and Vermont have a joint model where it's employee voluntary participation and contribution. There's another model in Oregon that's worth looking at. So I just think that there are ways to do it where it's less onerous and going to hurt job creation less. So I don't think this helps with our mandate as a jobs committee, and I support the amendment.
Representative Gunther.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I think of small employers. I don't think of the 3Ms. I don't think of Minneapolis School District. Minneapolis School District has substitute teachers. Not that anybody could ever be a substitute for you. I've heard nothing but good things about your ability to teach. Thank you. But there are small businesses, accounting businesses and stuff like that, that won't be able to turn out their clients' work. A grocery store, I had 100 employees in my grocery store in Fairmont. There wasn't one of them that we couldn't live for 12 weeks without, and we very often did it in our own little way. They got money regardless. But small businesses can't afford it. Small businesses can't do it. Small businesses, many of them will have to stop business. And I think one thing doesn't fit all. If it's a big business like 3M, the state of Minnesota, no problem. Mayo Clinic, no problem. But small gas stations, small any other kind of business in greater Minnesota, 85% of our businesses are small business. We have to do something to accommodate them because they cannot put up with this. Very often it's going to put them out of business. And businesses like accounting firms, small accounting firms, they're going to move out of state. And they are very high-paying, very rewarding businesses. So you want to make government employees? I'm 100% behind it. If you want to make 3M and companies with over 500 employees out there, I'm 100% behind it. But not the little guy. It's unfair, and very often they will no longer exist. And they're having a hard enough time the way it is.
Representative Dovney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'm just opposing the amendment. I'm hearing from my friends on the other side that we should have a checkerboard of benefits for Minnesota families and that the market works. Well, as we've seen in the last several decades, the market works for employers. It doesn't work for families. And we need a Minnesota that works for families so that they can work for Minnesota. And I'm hearing from small businesses in my area who want us to move forward on this legislation. They need a structure through which they can provide this benefit. And state action provides them with that structure. So a healthy discussion, but I would oppose the A190360 amendment. Thank you.
Representative Haley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And appreciate all the work that's gone into this concept, but I have to concur with things that have already been said and what I'm hearing from my communities as well, that my larger employers are providing these benefits in a structure that works well for them, and that my small employers are concerned about the mandate. I had three emails last night, accounting firm and other firms that said, we are working, our employees are extremely valuable to us. They're the most important thing we have is our employees. So if a parent gets ill or a child gets ill or somebody is adopting a child, we work with our employees. We want them to stay. We want them to be happy. And we work as a team. That's what these small businesses are about. They are like families themselves. So what they're concerned about is the state telling them how to do it, and the state taxing their business, which in turn will increase costs and frankly, inhibit them from hiring additional people and growing their business. So that's a real concern. And some of those things have already been mentioned. What hasn't been mentioned is that this mandate will apply to cities and counties as well. And we don't have an understanding yet on how that will get executed and what that will do to property tax rates. So I see this as not only a tax on business, which then is a tax on goods and services, but also could cause additional property taxes. And so it's that downstream effect that I'm also very concerned about. I would support the Kosnick Amendment. Thank you.
Representative Cagle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I guess I just wanted to direct people to page 58. Subdivision 2, which says that it's not 100% on the employers. Employers and covered business entities may deduct up to 50%. So we're still allowing the 50-50. So I just wanted to make sure that everybody saw that.
Any more discussion? I just wanted to add, this is about, you know, this is about providing them a place where they can go to. 12 weeks of paid leave for those families so that they can take care of a newborn child so that they can get back to work. United States and Papua New Guinea are the only countries which don't have any form of paid family leave. So we're creating an opportunity for individuals to have a chance to continue to work and also attract many people, because we're providing a program that will assure them if they have got a newborn baby, we will take care of them. This is good for our economy. This is good for families, and we should support the family paid medical leave. Representative Gunn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I had 193 employees, and most of the time I felt like I worked for them and they didn't work for me, because I cared a lot about those employees. And if there was a sickness in the family, I would allow as much time as I could afford and pay them for it. But to mandate this, to make I have to, there are quarters, 3 months, that my cost for benefits exceeded my net profit. Net profit is what I get to spend after everything else is paid for. And I don't think you can last too long having stuff like that happen. But I really cared about them. I had the best health insurance in the city of Fairmont for years. And I cared a lot. And then when health insurance got up, I covered my employees 100%, not their families and them. I did as much as I could. But don't forget, the little guys will lose their jobs if the employer goes out of business. They won't have anything. And it's going to be tough on them.
Seeing no any other discussion, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, say no.
No.
Motion has, amendment has not been adopted. We have A9, Representative Hassan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. The A9 amendment is just a technical fix. On page 9, line 6, we're just putting in, of this amount, $200,000 is for the Pathways Program to create fellowship for professionals of color in children's mental health. This amendment does not increase the funding. It just ensures a portion of the funds to be spent on the Pathways Program to increase diversity among mental health workers. And this is this flexibility was included in the original bill and is supported by the Washburn Center and the chief author of the bill, Representative Adelson.
Any discussions on A9 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no.
No.
Amendment has been adopted. We now have A10 amendment. Who's offering A10 amendment? Representative Gunther.
Thank you. The A10 amendment increases the transparency and accountability of all these many programs we're starting, and many of them are very good programs I wholeheartedly like. And I think for not only the benefit of the taxpayers, but also for the benefit of the programs, that we should check on them often and make sure they're doing the right things and doing them in the best ways. And the one agency we have to look at that and to do that is DEED. And most of them under DEED's purview anyway. So I think to have increased transparency and stuff, we should have DEED review every one of these new programs every other year to make sure they're on track and doing the right things. And if they aren't, DEED can help them before they have to be pulled. So I think for not only the sake of the programs, but also the sake of the taxpayers, I think we need to have accountability and transparency in all of these programs. And I can't think of one of them I totally hate. So I think it's time that we help these new programs and the new program directors and administrators help them out and make sure they're on the right track to start out these programs and to keep them going in the right direction.
Chair Mahoney. Representative Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wasn't sure if you were going to comment first, if you were going to accept this or not. And I hope, Mr. Chair and the author, you do accept Representative Gunther's idea here with the A-10. I think what I have seen over the years is that the state of Minnesota has invested a ton of money in a lot of these programs over the years, like Avivo and Clues and others, that have worked really hard because they've been able to prove results. And what this is doing, and I think what I think the author is trying to do is, we shouldn't just have an automatic, you should expect this every year. And I like the concept of that. The concept of it, however, though, I think what we're missing is we should maybe get some better reporting as to what actually are they doing with this money that we're getting. And I think that what this amendment does, Representative Gunther, and thank you for bringing it forward, is it just tightens up the guardrails a little bit on our reporting and what we're actually doing. Because if some programs aren't getting the results we want, then we should not fund them any longer. And I think every program that I have seen getting money has worked really hard to make sure if they ever come back to the legislature that they have worked really hard to be able to ask again so they can continue with their momentum, because they have made investments in Minnesota. And when we are starting to kind of shake this tree pretty hard, a little bit out of the blue here to some degree, I think the reporting is a really nice step that Representative Gunther is trying to do here with this amendment. I think it's very easy to accept this. It's just really asking for more accountability. So I wholeheartedly would ask the chair to also accept that amendment. Thank you.
Chair Mahoney.
I love this amendment. It's something I've been talking about for an extended period of time, for many years. I'm going to oppose it for the simple fact that there's money that's engaged in it. And I'm going to find out how much it will cost. I would be having a request for a fiscal note on this. And we still have ways and means where I'm looking at a number of these particular provisions, and I want to try to put something like this in. It's just a matter of how much the fiscal note is. I have stretched our budget as far as a rubber band, and it's starting to get pretty close to popping. And I don't want my fiscal analyst to have a heart attack. So I do like this, and I will. I think I'm going to Ways and Means this week or next. I can't remember when. And in the next 2 or 3 days, I'll be speaking with Representative Gunther and a few other people to see what we can afford. If I've got money in this bill someplace to put stuff like this in.
Representative Gunther.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Mahoney, I've known you for a long time, and I kind of knew you'd like this amendment. And I know you'll look very hard to get it.
We will try. Yep. We'll try to have it ready for Ways and Means. But at this time, I don't want to send my bill back to the drawing board, as the fiscal analyst would tell me I'd have to do. So,
Representative Kuznick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm encouraged, Chair Mahoney, of your lukewarm support, or maybe it's even a little warmer than that, support of the Mahoney-Gunther report on this provision. But, you know, trying to figure out what we can afford, this amendment, keep in mind, helps us categorize and better manage the monies within this. So we kind of can't afford to not have accountability with some of these programs. And so I appreciate Chair Gunther offering this amendment and idea and your willingness to explore it some more. So I think it'd be a great addition to the jobs report.
Representative Brogan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Gunther. I'm also a strong supporter of this amendment. I have run 3 different nonprofits over the years, and one of the things that would be of great benefit to the people who would have to do this reporting is, you know, increasing their skills and capacity as a nonprofit. So it's not punitive. It's actually a benefit to them to professionalize their operations. And I do think that the fiscal note hopefully will come back very small, but there's ways to address that. I mean, the Minnesota Council on Nonprofits is a wonderful resource. They probably have a basic reporting sheet that we could just give out when people receive their grant money and say, fill this out, and there should be pretty low cost involved in getting the basic reporting done. And I know there's a lot of programs that already provide technical assistance. We heard from Propel Nonprofits and others, so that could be part of it. Or we could even have a little, you know, surcharge on the grantees, you know, point X percent of their grant has to go towards reporting. I think that there's very simple ways to accomplish the goals of this amendment without a big fiscal impact. And so I'm really encouraging the committee to support this amendment. I'm sure we can figure it out.
Representative Hassan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to speak on the piece about accountability. We just keep talking about accountability, and I have sat in many different boards of nonprofits. They're doing the work. Many of these small nonprofits, community-led nonprofits, are doing the work. And adding more requirements and more enforcement, they're reporting the work. It, I think, sounds ludicrous to me. So I don't think this amendment is necessary, but the chair supports it. So I just want to say on the record that many of these community-led nonprofits who are the front line of the problems in the community already are doing the work, and it's really adds on to their load, to more reporting and more, you know, enforcement added to their list. Thank you.
Tim Mahoney.
I just want to repeat, I don't support the amendment today, but I'll work on trying to find ways that we can fit this in.
Representative Blake.
And thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to echo a lot of the thoughts that have been said. I really appreciate what Representative Robbins has just said, too, that a lot of these organizations already existing with some basic reporting as well. I think what Representative Hassan said, too, we don't want to put more work on these grantees necessarily. I think what we're looking for is to get it back, a report to us, to see if these programs are working. If they're already doing a lot of the reporting, let's tighten this down a little bit. If Representative Mahoney is sincere about wanting to do something like this, let's just put in a little tighter guardrails so we don't put more work on the grantees. Let's make sure we get the right kind of reporting. I don't want to overwhelm DEED with, again, a whole nother bunch of cost to do this. Let's get it into a summary form, but we can do this with the help of the grantees that are doing the work, and then DEED can kind of come out and just review it quickly with a 3-to-10-page summary, and let's not make this more complicated than it needs to be. So, again, I appreciate the comments today.
Any further discussions? Representative Clark.
Thank you, Chair. I certainly love data, and I have a bill or an amendment that we'll discuss later on that starts to get at the same idea but is a little less prescriptive. I absolutely agree that there are nonprofit groups out there who are doing an amazing job collecting data for themselves to use. I don't know that it's always getting reported back to DEED. And in an amendment later on, I'm simply proposing that we ask them to include in their report what other data would be helpful to evaluate these programs. What data is missing? What could be comparable across programs so we can have a way of actually comparing which programs are being the most successful? And rather than telling them what data they need to report to us right now, giving them the flexibility to tell us what data they need to collect, how to collect it, and how to evaluate the programs for the best results.
Representative Gunn.
To give you an answer, what kind of data they should collect, data like details of how grant funds were used, program costs, including percentage spent on administration, details of non-state funds used in the program, number of program participants, history of any past state funding the program has received, a short description of what the program does to extend the practical, qualifiable measures of program success. And this will, if they pay attention to these things, they will be successful. My idea is not to cut any program. My idea is to make that program stronger, and it will grow for a long time and help a lot of people. That's what I'm trying to do. But these are examples of what they can collect, and I appreciate you like that. Maybe Dieter will hire you.
Professor Mora.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So as one who believes in accountability, too, and I do think for many of the entities that we fund here, we do it without much transparency, without much accountability, and without much reporting. We just do it. And we do it consistently year after year after year. But I was looking at the A10 and the description of what the reporting needs to be. And some of the things that I think about when I'm looking at reporting, because we want to know, this is about jobs. You know, so how many people were able to get into the workforce? What was the impact of that? What was the outcome of it? You know, were people sustained on a job for 6 months or 12 months? Or how do we prepare folks to get into the workforce? How many participants were trained or pre-trained? Because often in some of these small organizations, especially for those who are, there's many different factors or challenged communities, you have to prepare the participants for the workforce before they get into the workforce. So are we capturing what we really need to capture to ensure that we are allowing people to get the training and the knowledge they need so that they are in the workforce and they are self-sufficient and not relying on the state? So I wouldn't say that all the criteria here matters, but, you know, how do we capture what it is we want to capture when we're looking at creating jobs and creating a workforce that is diverse?
Representative Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I think, you know, this is a great discussion. I'm glad to hear my colleagues also interested in this, and I look forward to the next amendment on this issue. I just hope my colleagues will keep in mind that as we're thinking about the need for flexibility for these small nonprofits who are strapped, that we'll continue to think about the need for that similar flexibility for private sector small employers and the family leave side and other issues of mandates on them. I think it really, you know, it's a very similar situation, and I think just appreciating that is important.
Representative Hassan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to remind people that there is data that's not quantified. When small nonprofits get a phone call from a concerned community member at 2 a.m. in the morning about their kid missing, how do you quantify that data and how do you put that in numbers? So with, you know, I am for accountability, I am for transparency, but let's just remember that this small nonprofits are the firefighters. They put out the fire. They're the front line in these communities. And some of the data, there's no way to quantify that data. There's no way to put them in numbers. Thank you.
Representative Cosme.
Thank you. And I do want to just speak to this real briefly one more time, some of the questions that came up. I think as a committee and for future committees, for me being on the first time on this committee, it was very interesting to have a number of these nonprofits, all of them doing good work with great intention, but we didn't have or don't have necessarily a good baseline measure to compare them for us to do our job to best use our resources. And, you know, as the chair of the committee, that's a tough job to figure out which ones to help and, unfortunately, which ones maybe have to come back or figure something else out. And that, you know, that's a difficult choice. And, you know, one of the things that we heard yesterday in testimony was the grant process, some grumblings about that the commissioner, we're trying to give them discretion to make those choices. But that kind of advocates our duties as a legislature and a committee. And so some of the questions that were asked, I think we should be supporting something to have more accountability and as a tool, not necessarily an enforcement, but as a tool for the jobs committee to do our job and make the little bit harder decisions, but to have some good data on that's listed out here so that we can better decide where to spend taxpayers' resources in the most efficient manner to create more jobs and economic development for this one state of Minnesota that we keep talking about. And so I think that is really helpful. You know, there is, you know, we can't list out in a report every single metric that might be important, and that's okay. That's why we're here, to discuss it and debate it and evaluate it more fairly and more thoroughly. But we have to have a starting point with some metrics. So, Mr. Chair Mahoney, I hope that there is a way that we can work this in, and I think there's some good questions that are brought up with this on this discussion with this amendment. But I don't see how helping future committees evaluate the many of these programs is not a good idea. So I wanted to make sure that that's on the record. And thank you, Chair Gunther, for submitting this amendment.
Chair Mahoney.
I believe this particular amendment is a good start. I don't have a fiscal note, and I do think we need to be cautious when we put burdens on, whether it's business or nonprofits. So I want to look at the amendment, and when we come to Ways and Means in a few days, hopefully I'll have an answer and combine this amendment with Representative Claflin's amendment, trying to figure out so that even next year, because we will get requests next year, we have some data if we can. But I'm going to be voting no on this particular amendment.
Chair Mahoney promises to work with Representative Gunther and the committee to get a better process for this. So all those in favor of this amendment, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, please say no.
No.
The amendment has not been adopted. Members, we have got a couple more amendments. We have A11 amendment. Representative Mack.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. well, I'm actually encouraged by a lot of what we heard in the last few amendments. So this A11 is a... Basically, it would delete all this earned sick and safe time, which I know you're probably like getting a little, you don't like that idea, but we just heard that we can't put any more regulation and burden on people who are getting tax dollars to run nonprofits. This thing actually does exactly that. I believe the author, both in this committee and in labor, testified, is it another regulation? Yes. Is it a burden? Yes, but you get used to it. When you couple all these regulations and burdens together, when you run a small business, you don't really get used to all the additional paperwork. You find yourself sitting behind a desk and not actually doing your job anymore. And if you really want to fund the previous amendment by accepting this one, you'd have plenty of money. I actually had a gentleman who is the CEO of one of the largest convenience store chains that was founded in this state call me 2 weeks ago. They operate in 10 states. Because of this particular bill and the family leave bill, they are not going to be investing in the state of Minnesota going forward. The other 9 states, yes. This is the type of stuff that happens when we think we have a one-size-fits-all program, which we've heard on both the sick and safe as well as this one, and even about the nonprofits now. You're kind of arguing it both ways, saying you can't do it to one group, but you can do it to the other. This thing includes one employee or more. Does that include me because I'm one employee of myself? OSHA considers me an employee of myself now. At some point, we have to understand that, like Mr. Representative Gunther said, he does everything he could when he was running his business, and so do I. But I don't need a whole bunch of paperwork to spend weeks and weeks and weeks doing to show that I'm doing it. If I'm doing it, my employees stay. And if I'm not, they go somewhere else. We are in an employee's market. They can name their price. Yet we think we have to fix everybody's problems. And I hope you can, you know, see that some of us are pretty nervous. I don't know what I'm going to do come June. I don't know if I'm going to go back and run my company because I don't know that it's worth it. I mean, all of these things add up to an awful lot of time. We are told in my industry that in order for us to be fully compliant with all Minnesota's departments and regulations, we need 5 employees. That's 5 admins. Does that sound like something you'd want to do? I mean, they talk about you don't get to keep your first dollar due to taxation until somewhere in April. Now if you add 5 admin employees, I'm looking at August or September. So where does it end? I've been very generous to my employees. I've given them all kinds of stuff. To this day, every one of them, we're friends, even that don't work for me anymore. In fact, one of my best ones, he now is master carpenter in the union. But when I decided to do what I'm doing now, he went back to that. And, you know, I just talked to him last night, and this stuff is job killers. You cannot have employees if you have no employers. And these small employers make up the bulk of the who employ everybody. So I hope you would, I can see that look on your face, it's probably not selling you, but I hope you would take this under advisement.
Chair Mahon.
Well, I have concerns with paid family leave too, but my problem with it is that we'll attract way too many people from Iowa, Wisconsin, and North and South Dakota to come work here because we actually take care of our employees in a manner that they should be taken care of. So I'm going to be voting no on this particular amendment.
Thank you, Representative Mecklen, for bringing this amendment forward in the discussion. And as I drive in, from Lakeville every day, get a little more radio time. And just today, and practically every day, you hear about the job situation in the state as you listen to the news. Today was one of the metrics was the lowest in since 1969, I believe. I can't remember exactly what metric. But if you look all across, right now, employers are doing what they need to do to attract and compete for workers. And a lot of that is already incorporated with paid time off, and it's not mandated. Employers are doing it because it's a benefit, and it helps them keep their relationship with their employees, to treat them fairly, and to have a successful business. A good employer understands that, and they're doing it. And so I don't think that this is a necessary provision. And so thank you, Representative Mecklen, for bringing this forward and sharing your experiences and your stories. But there's many more stories like that across all of our communities of people just trying to make it, and they need a little help, and they find somebody that works hard and shares their vision and gives them a job to provide for their family, to do a little self-dignity and work. And they're part of the American dream, and employers recognize that. And with some of these provisions, it just makes it harder and harder for people to do that, and they're not coming to Minnesota. They're going to states that they don't have to have these mandates, or they're just giving up, like Representative Mecklen's story suggested. So we know where the trend is on some of these amendments, but I think the point is necessary to bring up and just have that discussion. So thank you, Representative Mecklen, again.
Representative Beck.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to, again, thank Representative Mecklen for bringing this forward. I think my concern to this is that this omnibus bill is trying to put in two really large mandates at one time with the Paid Family Leave Act and as well as the Earned Sick and Safe. These are big deals. One is 400 employees to kind of get it up and running and an IT system that we haven't developed yet. This one here is probably going to be another 30 to 40 employees that will take somebody to operate and manage. And to the Chair Mahoney, you've been one of the guys that I think really knows about balance. When I have sat with you on a lot of these meetings and committee hearings, you've brought up good points from both sides of the aisle. You fight against the unions as much as you fight against the chamber because you find that the right moment for the right issue, you speak right, and I think you've always had that balance. And we don't agree a lot of times, but I think your bill today that you have to put your name on has a lot of employer mandates. And I think I'm asking you, and I hope that we can maybe look at supporting this, that it's a big double whammy for employers. Again, this is for small employers too. This is a lot to ask, and I hope that you consider Representative Mecklen's deletion of this to say, let's tap this break. Let's at least, if you're going to get one out of the gate, let's get one out first, get it working, and then maybe we can come back to this. But as an employer, again, I'm frightened that we are sending a signal to employers. Here comes two really big deals that are going to change the way we run our companies and employ our people and take care of them because we don't know what we're doing. And I take offense to that. So I just, again, thank you for bringing this forward, and I hope members honestly will hear what I'm saying. There's a lot to this bill, and these are big deals. They're not all bad ideas, but these are big whammies to employers that are trying to grow and expand. Thank you.
Seeing no any other discussion, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, say no.
No.
Motion has not been adopted. So we're now moving to Amendment 812. Mm-hmm. Representative Kosnick, you're moving 812?
Yes, Mr. Chair, thank you. The 812 amendment adds in House File 650, and as I mentioned, actually I was sitting, I think, next to Representative Dabney and learned a little bit more about this bill and what it does. And I think it was an opportunity to take a second look at this bill, the AmeriCorps Promise Fellowship Program. Representative Young authored it, and I thought it was a really good program that achieves a lot of what we're trying to do, not just in this committee, but as a legislature and as the priority that's been stated by the majority. You know, a lot of the job programs that we did here were working with adults that went wayward, maybe in trouble with the law, maybe some chemical dependency issues, some family issues. And so often we hear about, well, if we just start earlier and keep people on the right track, it's going to save the state a lot of money. And Representative Mahoney, I mentioned before, I appreciate the difficult job that you have of putting a bill together, and not everything can get funded. But I want to take a second look at this bill for the AmeriCorps, for these fellows to work with more at-risk youth. You know, their flyer says, the AmeriCorps Promise Fellows serve off-track students in grades 6 through 12 with data-driven supports designed to engage them in school and keep them on a path to graduation. One of the eye-awakening things that I learned when I first came to the legislature that I think is pretty embarrassing as a state is the huge and nation-leading achievement gap that we have for students of color. We pride ourselves so much on our education system, and in on average, we do have a good education system, kindergarten through 12th grade. But I don't know why, but this is something that I would want to kind of focus on as in my time here, that our students of color are not achieving at the same or even close high school graduation rate. Like I said, is embarrassing. And so I recognize that their ask was for, I think, $1 million each year, you know, to help out. This amendment cuts that in half, and maybe we can try giving them some support. Chair Mahoney, you and I work on the Latino Affairs Council on the advisory board, and so a little bit more intimately know the challenges and the work that they've done, but the challenges that community has in the graduation rate. But ultimately, this is a jobs track that I think, you know, has had some good success in some of their other programs that they do, but with the vulnerability and the impression that 6th through 12th graders have, I think is an opportunity for us to make some progress towards reducing that achievement gap and graduation rate. And so I offer this amendment. I appreciate the authors and co-authors, Dabney, Representative Dabney, Representative Moran, and Lee. And so I hope that you would find this something that we can fit in. I just think it was a great program, something that I'd like to see instituted even in my school districts. But they're looking to do things across the state, so it's not just a metro kind of program, if you look back at their handout. So with that, I'll offer the A12 amendment, and I hope that this is something that we can agree on. I think in general we're all working in the same direction, but this is just a small opportunity to to make a difference in a lot of kids' lives. Chair Mullen.
Mr. Chair, Representative Kosnick, this was a tough decision. I just didn't have the funds to actually do what they were asking to, or basically replace federal money. So at this time, I'd ask for a negative vote on this particular bill.
Seeing none, Representative Jean.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I thank you, Representative Kosnick, for bringing this bill forward. I really appreciate that you recognize the disparities within our communities of colors and indigenous people, and I appreciate that you want to do something about particularly my community and indigenous community. So I look forward to having more conversations with you on what we can do together to also address these issues. And I will be, as this bill moves forward to the next meeting, I'll be working with Chair Mahoney to address these concerns too. So I hope we can connect afterwards to talk more about this. Thank you.
See no any other discussion. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say nay.
No. No.
Motion has not been adopted. We're now moving to A14. Who is offering? A14 is again Representative Kosnick.
The A14 amendment, Mr. Chair. You might find a little money in your bill now. The A14 is an amendment to talk about transparency, and I think it's pretty well documented as we started our legislative session this biennium. There was a lot of talk about transparency, better process, this and that, and you know, the nature of the legislative business, a lot of stuff comes at us, so I understand that things happen. But, you know, we have the committee process to hear our bills and vet them out. One of the Gunther amendment, we talked a little bit about some things and metrics that we can't necessarily always quantify, but that's why we have committee hearings to discuss these bills. And there were about 30 bills included in the report, or in the jobs omnibus bill, that didn't get a hearing in this particular committee, and I recognize that there were other committees they may have had hearing stops at, but that doesn't mean that they shouldn't be heard by this committee, or if they hadn't been, then what's the point of having this committee? So included in that, there's a couple important You know, there weren't just non-controversial bills that were just suddenly added in the dark of night, maybe. But so I think it's important to have these bills heard and discussed here. Otherwise, I'm not sure what the committee process is for, and I don't think it's transparent. And so I'll offer the A14 amendment and appreciate your support.
Why don't you see if there's anybody else, and I'll just respond to all of them at one time.
All right. Any discussions on A14? Representative.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And I guess maybe it's ironic, but I remember a friend of mine brought this to our committee a couple of years ago, who's now the author of this one here, who kind of wanted to do the same kind of a thing. Because it is frustrating, you know. And again, I'm learning what it's like to be in the minority for the first time, and it's a humbling thing. And I think it's something that you have to keep fighting for what you don't get to at least have a bill heard. I know what that feeling is like now this year more than ever, and it's frustrating when you work as hard as anybody else, knocking on a lot of doors to be here, and when you don't get bills heard, it's hard that you can't have your story told the way you wanted to have it told. So again, I understand the frustration. I get what's going to happen out of this with this amendment too, Mr. Chair, but it's how we manage our time in these things is important, and there's never enough time. But our founding fathers have said, get together, 201 of you, and get things right, and we only have 5 or 6 months, and we are going to have to work after dark sometimes. We just have to do it. You know, Edison made us light bulbs. We can work after dark. It's okay, and we're not doing anything secret. these bills, a lot of these bills probably should have been heard. I guess I can't say I was here anyway because I wasn't for the meetings earlier, but this isn't just this committee either. So, again, I appreciate Representative Kosnick bringing it forward.
Representative Robin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Kosnick. I also support this amendment. Not only were there 30 bills, roughly, I believe, that weren't heard in the committee, but there were five that no bill language exists, as far as our staff could tell. So I don't know where that language came from, if it wasn't in a bill that was introduced. But, you know, as a new member, I find that, you know, disheartening. So I was particularly concerned that the net neutrality language came in this bill. And I don't sit on any of the other committees that had the privilege of hearing that. And it's a really big issue. And so I just don't feel comfortable putting something that substantive that wasn't heard before this committee. So I support the Kosnick amendment.
Any other discussions?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Kosnick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'd like to request a roll call on this because I think it's important. It's not – I don't offer this in, you know, just an exercise of discussion. I think it's a really important thing. Chair Mahoney, I think you've actually made similar arguments in the past.
Me, never.
You know, it is important to have bills vetted and have, you know – we're on this committee, and then when we come to the floor, we're expected to vote on the bill again. And the more members hear bills, the better we're informed when the final package and comes to committee and stuff. But, you know, in the past, you know, it was quoted by a member. I want to make the members and the committee and anybody in the audience who cares to follow aware of what we didn't hear that is in this bill. There's a whole bunch of them. This again takes to a new height of putting bills into an omnibus bill that were never heard before. And there is more, but I'll leave it at that. But that may sound familiar, Chair Mahoney. And so I respectfully offer this amendment to keep that transparency that you fought for. And if I understand correctly, previous job committees, when the issue was brought up, spent like a week hearing the bills that hadn't been heard in the report. And so, members, short of time, I offer this amendment that we take these out, and if there's a way to hear these bills and add them back in there, that would be the right thing to do. You know, one of the things that came out through the public testimony yesterday, one of the provisions, the net neutrality, hugely controversial. And that was never heard in this committee. I guess I'll refrain from kind of going over the testimony, but it was pretty convincing that that's a federal issue and that particular bill is not ready here for this committee here. So I offer that amendment. And members, again, Mr. Chair, I'd like to ask for a roll call.
Representative Dabney, a roll call has been requested after that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, Representative Kosnick, just a few minutes ago, you said you were concerned about little people who are trying to make it and just needed a little help. And here you're proposing gutting programs that do exactly that across the state to various communities. Greater Minnesota Business Development. Proposed deleting from the bill. The community prosperity grants, I offered an amendment to that language just a few minutes ago. That's a new program that is targeted at low-income census tracts with high unemployment. There's one that starts three blocks from my house and goes west from there. Father's Rise, Father's Project, Rise Together, other programs that work strategically and reliably with low-income Minnesotans. The Hmong American Partnership, there's a whole lot of folks with red tags on their chests here today. Clues, working with our Latino community, as you know well. The Dairy Assistance Program. At a time when our dairy industry is in crisis, from both a financial and weather perspective, you're proposing deleting support for that industry in rural Minnesota from our from the bill. Child care grants, number of things, payday lending. The Commerce Committee is a policy committee to the Jobs Committee. In the K-12 bill, I accepted the overwhelming portion of the Education Policy Division report without hearing all of the provisions because I have respect for the both the jurisdiction of the Policy Committee and the members of the Policy Committee. Representative Mahoney is simply doing the same. We shouldn't be leaving Minnesotans who are looking for a little help and instead find themselves sunk in a debt trap. So while many of these elements are trying to help out the little people, you're now proposing deleting all of those provisions from the bill and negatively impacting Minnesotans across the state. Members, I'll be voting no, and I would urge others to do the same. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know what? Someday I hope, if you haven't already been, you all get to be a chairman because it's pretty hard to balance everything. And you do things for different reasons. In a way, it's like playing poker. You don't add something in because you know the other side of the aisle, that other side, the Senate, that being the Senate, desperately wants that. And in order for you to get things that they don't have yours in there, you have to give them something they want. It's a hard job to balance time to hear some of these bills. And I've been there, and it's not necessarily a fun part. This is kind of the gauntlet, kind of, so to speak, that you have to sit here and listen to the other side's amendments and say things that you want or don't want in them. But this amendment right now is saying, I'm going to take away from you, Mr. Chairman, your ability to do those things you think are necessary to move forward you and your party's agenda. And remember one thing that we both suffer from. We'll pass bills this time that we don't like, but remember someday our side will be in charge. And we'll take those things that we don't like and we'll change them and they won't be here anymore. That's the simple facts of life. There are so many bills that are in a conference committee report that have never touched the ear of one person in the House. And some of them are done at the middle of the night. But this is reality. Chairman Mahoney, I know the pressures you're under. I know the constraints of money, time. I know what you have a strategy to pass the things that you want that the Senate doesn't want. It's part of the things that we have to do here. And I sincerely hope that someday every one of you are a chairman and have to see those pressures up close and tight, right? Because it's not that he doesn't want these things. He just doesn't want them right now. Thank you.
Representative Cousins. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Gunther, I certainly acknowledge a lot of the pressures that are on Chair Mahoney and to run a committee and put these things together. But as was mentioned, I did support the previous bill for that program, but we heard that bill, and that's how I learned about it. And Chair Dabney had a nice little talk and talked for quite a while. That's how many things that were in the bill that we didn't have an opportunity to discuss. I don't know how you knew what was in those, and the rest of the public would know what things were not heard if we'd had a hearing on them. So it just goes to the transparency in the process, and in the past, accommodations were made to have hearings on those after objections were raised. And so I would hope, as Representative Dabney said, that Chair Mahoney does the same thing.
President Hassan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And members, someone in this body today said it's frustrating to be in the minority. Well, I would say try being a minority your whole life, where your voice and your community interest does not matter. Most of it is overlooked. Our communities of color and indigenous communities struggle every day. They struggle to put food at the table. They struggle to put good schools in their kids. And Minnesota has the best and the worst. I have said this before, I believe, in many of the communities. We have a great communities thriving, and we have disparities that are so bad that our communities of color are struggling, and indigenous communities are struggling in every level of life. So when I look at this amendment that cuts out all the communities of color and indigenous groups out of the omnibus bill, just one thing is clear to me, that communities of color and indigenous communities' interest isn't presented. And moments ago, I believe, the same representative that's offering the amendment said that he cares about, you know, disparities, and he cares about educating our, you know, students of color. So cutting all of these programs doesn't fall in line with what has been said earlier. I oppose this amendment, and I encourage members to oppose it. Thank you.
Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Koznick. In my view, the point we're trying to make is not pro or con any of the 30 items. The point is that we did not hear them presented in this committee. So I guess I need to speak for myself on that, but I want that on the record. And Chair Dabney made some of those other points, too. The challenge is that they weren't vetted, and so we didn't get to make the choice of A versus B or F versus G. In the new structure that the majority has in place, with divisions being subsets of other committees, our understanding was that we would get a division report. I don't believe we received a division report from Commerce that had really important provisions in it, like net neutrality, so that this committee would have a chance to fully vet it and to make a choice, yes or no. I am accountable to the folks that elected me to this immense responsibility to sit in this chair. And with that comes those difficult choices of yes or no. So that is what we're asking in this amendment, is to make sure we know what's in this bill and to go back and tell our constituents and our taxpayers why we voted yay or nay on any provision and why we made the difficult choices that we're all making. Thank you.
Representative Stevenson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wanted to speak a little bit about the net neutrality, since it's been mentioned a few times, and make a few points, one of which is that, to start off, you know, the net neutrality bill doesn't contain an appropriation. It is a policy bill. And it was heard in three different policy committees. It was heard in the Commerce Committee, the Government Operations Committee, and then it was heard to State Government Finance on a policy basis. And in each of those committees, testimony was given, testimony was heard, amendments were offered. Amendments were offered by the minority party and were accepted by the author. Representative Carisha had an excellent amendment in the Commerce Committee that was accepted. Throughout that time, we met with industry groups and got feedback and changed the bill at those requests. We met with people from government agencies, from the Department of Commerce, from the Broadband Office, and made changes and reflected that. So there's been a long and lengthy process on the net neutrality bill that has been very open, that has been very transparent. You know, the last thing I'd say about this committee is, so, you know, when you have a hearing on a bill in a committee, there's certain things that happen, right? You have notice of the bill coming up, and you have a chance to hear testimony on the bill. You have a chance to offer amendments on the bill. You have a chance to discuss the bill, and then you get to vote on the bill, right? Those are the essential elements of a hearing. Well, we're doing all of that on all of these things, right? Take net neutrality as an example. We knew net neutrality was in this bill a long time ago. We had had an opportunity for people from the public to come and talk about net neutrality. We know that because a lot of people did come and talk about net neutrality to this committee. Members of this committee, both the majority and the minority, have the chance to offer amendments to that. And, you know, the members that are concerned about net neutrality could have offered specific amendments to improve the net neutrality language and make changes. It was their right. They have election certificates. They could do that. And we could have considered those. So there's all of the pieces of the hearing on net neutrality are happening here. This is the opportunity to have that discussion. And so I think this amendment I understand where the minority is coming from, but I don't think it's appropriate, and I'll be voting against it.
Jim Mahoney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee. Most all of these bills that are in this particular amendment have been vetted through multiple other committees. I lead a finance committee. I don't lead a policy committee. We do hear and include policy in this bill and in discussions here that have been vetted by the committees prior to us that are primarily policy committees. I have the policy committee of labor, of commerce. I think there's another one in there. No, Greater Minnesota is a finance committee. So net neutrality, payday and lending, child care grants, public access for the handicapped to new buildings and remodeled buildings have been heard in the policy committees that feed to this committee. A couple of the Innovation Collaborative, Community Prosper grants were all gone over, and we all had opportunities to question, to talk, to complain or praise items in the governor's bill. Many of them are not at the dollar figure that these policy committees or the governor wanted, but that's the joy of being a chair of a finance committee. You get to make decisions about what gets in and at what level. So this is exactly what previous chairs have done. I understand who you were quoting and how irritating it can be, but some days you just got to plow ahead and pretend. But there is this great story of a legislator who railed against the bankers, was railing against them, condemning them for stealing the pennies off the eyes of the dead. And he got it, was handed a note by someone and that said, they give up. And he turned around and within the same speech talked about how wonderful bankers were and how important it was that the bankers have the ability to help poor people and rich people. And he went on, we talk a lot now. This guy could talk, and he did. So I try to keep this committee on time. I try not to stretch things out. For many of the things, I think it's important that we do. So I'm going to be voting against this particular amendment because I think all these bills that are in this 2208 have been well vetted, either by policy committees or through this particular committee. And seeing as how we have 2 minutes to do a roll call, I will cut my remarks short and say I'm going to be voting against this amendment.
The clerk will...
Short.
No. All right.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just want to set the record straight. I understand the debate here quite well. But the argument that I'm offering this and then I don't have compassion for the bills that are in here or maybe was disingenuous of the previous amendment, take a little offense to it, but not personal. Because you can have transparency, you can have process, and that's what the amendment's about. It's not about what was included or not included in the bill necessarily. But there's a lot of people here that had provisions that weren't included in the bills and didn't get hearings. And we can debate whether things were fully heard in other committees or not, and I would argue that some still aren't. But I just wanted to make that point, members, that you can have transparency and process, and this isn't the vote of taking out or cutting what we don't what wasn't heard. So I just want to make that clear that it's not necessarily that some of the provisions in here that weren't heard that would be removed. It's not for supporting that. It's about process and transparency and consistency. And so you can proceed with the roll call.
Clerk will take the roll on A14.
Chair Mahoney?
No.
Vice Chair Neuer?
No.
Representative Gunther?
No.
Representative Baker?
No.
Representative Claflin?
No.
Representative Dabney.
No.
Representative Eklund.
No.
Representative Haley.
Yes.
Representative Hassan.
No.
Representative Cagle.
No.
Representative Koznick.
Yes.
Representative Mekland.
Yes.
Representative Moran.
No.
Representative Robbins.
Yes.
Representative Stevenson.
No.
Representative Sundin.
No.
Representative Zhang.
No.
Four ayes, 13 nays, the amendment has not been adopted. Mr. Chair, I think we will go to recess and we will reconvene 30 minutes from when the session ends in the basement. I know many people came to...
Did you say 10 minutes?
30 minutes.
30 minutes after session.
At least we can get some time to eat dinner and then come to the meeting. So we will recess and meet 30 minutes in the basement after session. All right, yep.